Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very fine day of Wednesday, August 14th, 2013. Lots of things to talk about today, so let's get started right away with the market report. Good news today, gold up $14 today at $13.36, a nice day in the market. Silver also 1.86% to the upside, up 40 cents at $21.96, so a good day in silver. Platinum was up $8 today at $15.09, along with palladium up $2 at $743. So a good day in gold. And we have the USDX today trading slightly down 0.07 at $81.70. Crude oil's up just a few pennies today, still almost touching 107. Paper markets today took a little bit of a hit. The Dow dropped 114 points today, I guess based on the Fed statements, officials' comments. We'll have to take a peek to see exactly what those were. The Nasdaq was down 114. I'm sorry, the Dow was down 114 points at 15,337, along with the Nasdaq down 15 at 36,69, S&P down 8 at 16,85, and the 10-year yield is still holding steady at 2.71%. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at 800-375-4188. We're going to continue the special from yesterday, $965 for an AU $5 Liberty and 21-ounce silver Eagles, same price as yesterday. We are limited, though, so you do have to call in, and we'll get you locked in and keep it going for as long as we can. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Stocks fell on Wednesday as investors speculated on when the Federal Reserve might curb its stimulus measures. And after the department store Macy's stock fell from a tough sales environment. The Dow is down 100 points because Macy's having a bad hair day and the Federal Reserve might curb its stimulus efforts sometime, maybe.
You know what? I don't know why they wouldn't curb their stimulus. It's not doing anything. It can't keep rates low. You have rates climbing. They're up over 66% in just, what, 3 months? So their stimulus is not doing anything. It's certainly not generating our economy. It's not keeping rates down. The only reason the stock market is up is because, people have faith in Wall Street, and they're being conned into believing that the economy is getting better. But certainly the economy is not getting better. I saw a number today where the standard of living, you know, as defined as a median household income, it's fallen back to the level of 1995. So how good are things? We also know that the full-time employment as a percentage is dropping. You have higher part-time jobs are increasing, but full-time jobs are decreasing. Wages are decreasing. You have a record number of 1 out of 13 Americans is on Social Security disability. You have 1 out of 6.5 Americans on food stamps. Oh, yeah, those stimuluses are really helping the economy, aren't they, Al? So why not pull out of it? They're not doing anything.
Well, what can I tell you? It has to do, I guess, with consumer confidence. I have whether it does anything mathematically or in terms of direct impact on the economy, that's perhaps not the fundamental issue. Here's an article from The Exchange, which is on Yahoo Finance, and the headline is Walmart Earnings, Consumer Confidence, Take the Long View. And they're sitting back and they're saying, oh my gosh, the Dow fell. In part, they're blaming Walmart. They're not talking about Macy's. They say it's because Walmart's having a problem. But they go down, and they Walmart's already reported the problem, but they go on to point out the consumer confidence effect. And they say consumer confidence, due to be reported Friday morning, is similar in this regard. Consumers account for nearly three-quarters of the economic growth. So the media all but chains itself to the monthly reports. The problem is, again, that the statistics ebb and flow by the month, causing the media to veer between desperation and exhilaration. And what they're doing here is they're essentially warning that don't get all excited this Friday when the consumer confidence report comes out, and it has fallen. Now, they haven't said that, but that's the implication. And I don't know. You've got to maintain. I don't know why the government even bothers to send any money out for stimulus. Why don't they just say they're sending it out? It would have the same effect. Just tell the consumers we mailed out $85 billion this month. No. We mailed out $285 billion in just yesterday. We did that that would inspire consumer confidence. It wouldn't be true, but it would inspire consumer confidence, and that might be enough to hold this thing together. It's just when you look and you understand how important consumer confidence is to the economy, it makes you appreciate how extraordinarily fragile the economy is. Mm-hmm. It depends. It does not depend on the number of tons of steel that we produce. It does not depend on the number of automobiles or aircraft or computer or washing machines or whatever. It depends primarily on whether people have a subjective view of the economy that's positive or negative. If they have confidence, the economy goes up. If they don't have confidence, it goes down. How can you make investments in a world where the largest reality is a subjective concept like consumer confidence? How can you decide that, well, I'm going to invest, I've got $100,000, I'm going to invest it in the stock market? But the stock market is, to some significant degree, dependent. The rise or fall in the stock market depends on consumer confidence, which depends on what?
Mr. Ben Bernanke.
I guess. You know what we ought to do? They're getting ready to rotate him out and rotate somebody else in there.
Yeah, they ought to rotate him out.
I think what they ought to do is get the guy who starred in Weekend at Bernie's. You remember that movie?
Yes, I do.
Where they had
the dead guy
that they were
right?
walking around the rest of that. His name was Bernie. Bernanke's name is pretty close to Bernie. I think we should get the dead guy Bernie, and we'll just put a big, on his chest, we'll put a big dollar sign. Right? because that's what they're doing, is they're walking these dead dollars around, kind of like Weekend at Bernie's, and trying to prop them up and make them smell pretty and the rest of this sort of thing. But the truth is, Bernie is dead, and the truth is, the dollar is at least headed in that direction.
It really is. And yes, Bernanke's monetary policy, I mean, it is not working, and it is the failure of QE.
Oh, maybe it has worked.
But however, it has kept the system together to some degree. You have the higher numbers and so forth. And once they begin to, they're going to have to continue at least buying the bonds, because they have to pay the debt. They have to pay the interest. So, I mean, they're between the rock and the hard place. And, you know, I was on a radio program last night. And we had a caller, and he, you know, he was talking about, you know, people need to reinvest in American corporations, you know, to support what's going on. And it's just like, and then there was, they said the night before, somebody was calling in that they're tired of the gloom and doom, that they're tired of all the fear mongering, and and it's just like, this is the way a lot of people think.
No, I understand. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, I get tired of the doom and gloom, and I have to deal with it. You and I have to deal with it more than the vast majority of the people that are listening to the program. And they may get tired of us talking about it, but
it's true.
It's like, I know that's the problem. It's like being on the Titanic. And you've got some people that are still sitting there back in the salon listening to music and sipping on Manhattans or whatever. And you're trying to warn them, look, the ship has sprung a leak. You better get your life preserver. You better get in line for the lifeboats. There's a problem. And it's not always apparent that people appreciate the warning. They'd rather sit there in the salon and sip on their Manhattans and, wait and assume it's all going to work out for the best. And
I wish somebody could give us good news so that we could talk about good news, that something was really happening. As long as we're on a fiat currency, you're still going to need gold. But at least they could do some things in order to at least perhaps address issues and give truth and tell truth. But
they can't tell
if
truth.
You're not
they
getting
can't tell the truth.
If you're falling into their illusion that they have created for so many years, and that you think things are fine and dandy, and that you can play their little game of paper, guess who's really going to lose? Because that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to fall into their system. They want you to be there so they can rob you. They want you to fail. If they didn't want you to fail, they wouldn't be making the policies that they're making. The only thing they can do is continue down the path that they're on, hopefully to position everyone of importance so that they will be protected. And in the meantime, the poor guy who... Well, yeah, gee, you know, Apple went back up over 500 today, and, you know, it's going to go to 800. I better go out and get me some Apple, because everybody's buying cell phones, you know?
But they're buying Samsung. You don't want to buy Apple, you want to get Samsung. They're killing Apple. That's according to one report I've seen. So.
But I mean, and yes, there will be sectors in the market that perform well.
I get that. Know? And it's,
but
you know,
folks,
there's going to be things going up and things go down. Some go up, some go down. And it depends if you're looking for an investment. What's the most intelligent investment you can make today? Well, it depends. Are you talking about the most intelligent investment in terms of making money by this time tomorrow? That would be one thing. Hard to say what the answer would be, but there's going to be one or more stocks or maybe precious metals or commodities. Who knows? Something's going to do spectacularly well, at least compared to the rest of the other potential investments over the course of the next 24 hours. Are you looking for an investment in terms of the next month? That's a different class. How about the next year? Again, different class. You get a different answer as what's the most intelligent investment according to what time frame you're working under. You know,
and you know what? I know how confusing it is out there.
Yeah.
You have the internet. You people are being bombarded with emails on all these fancy videos, material, meetings that are scheduled all around the country and around the world. You have people that really do know what they're talking about, but for the large part, there's an agenda in what they tell you, from gold going to 1,000, from pitching, you know, shares that have already hit bottom and they're the only way they have to go is up. People are confused. They don't know what to do.
They're not just confused. They're also tired. You know, yes. It wears on people to some degree to have, for example, everyone who's listening to this program is certainly, their heart is with gold. That's almost certainly true. It would be unusual to have many people listening to this program who weren't, they are sympathetic to the idea of gold. But we've had almost 2 years of difficult times, and it wears you down. You know, what are you going to do? It's difficult to deal with persistent problems for a period of 2 years. It's not impossible. I think in the end, as we tried to explain the last couple of days on this program, I look at gold, chart the price of gold from 1933, when it was $20 an ounce. Chart it to today, $1,330, $35, whatever it is right now. Up, up, up. That's the trend line. Chart it from 1933, chart it from 1971, when we became a pure fiat currency, and the price of gold was $35 an ounce. Put that on the graph and run it up to $1,335 where it is today. Again, the trend is up, up, up. Take the, what's the last one? From 2000, when Saddam Hussein essentially attacked the petrodollar. The dollar from 1971 on through 2000 was effectively backed by crude oil. Saddam Hussein started selling his crude oil, Iraqi crude oil, for euros rather than dollars. And the dollar took a dive, and the price of gold, again, went up dramatically from 2000 to 2013. And we've had a peak much higher than what we have right now, but just the same. Look at those trends. We've got trends that you can trace back 80 years. Got another one that goes back, something like 48 years or 45 years, 42, whatever it is, but over 40 years for the second trend. The third one is now 13 years. From my perspective, these are the trend lines that I'm looking at, and I recognize we've had 2 years of difficulty. But a two-year trend for me is, like I said, is an aberration. I'm looking at that longer trend, and that trend is not. We talk about this. We sit on the markets again, mentioned it yesterday, I think, talk about a bull market in gold. I don't see a bull market in gold. I see a bear market in fiat currency. It isn't about gold going up. It's about the dollar going down.
And you can't
forget
that.
That's what's happening right now, and that is not going to stop as long as we have a fiat currency. I don't see the price of gold, I don't see that it will stop going up until the day comes when we abandon the fiat currency and we go back to what? A gold or silver-based monetary system, in my opinion. I don't think they can pull off anything other than that. And I don't know whether the dollar dies this year, next year, 5 years from now. I don't know. But inevitably, it always, every fiat currency the world's seen have ended in disaster. With the out of something like 275 attempts, 23 are still in action right now. They haven't ended in disaster yet. But they will join the other 240, and they will end in disaster. And when they do, those people holding on to gold are going to say, yippee, and those people who are holding on to paper are going to say, oh, shucks, at best.
Murray writes in, he says, there is good news. Even though everything might crash, we'll still have Obamacare to take care of us.
Yeah, unless you have the misfortune of working for Congress. If you're a congressman, a senator, or a congressman's aide, then, oh, my gosh, we won't have Obamacare to take care of us.
But the good news, Al, is there is something investors can do. They can purchase gold and silver. That is the good news. And be positioned, be balanced in your portfolios, and don't listen to these people who tell you, oh, just have 5% of physical gold. What the heck is that going to do for you? You know, don't listen to Wall Streeters who say 5%, 10%. You need more than that in this time. Just like your home is the example I always give. If your home is $100,000, what are you insured for? You insured for $100,000. Why wouldn't you do the same for your wealth, your life, your value of your life? You insured for the amount, your car. You insure your car for the value. So why wouldn't you do the same thing with your wealth? Then go speculate. Then go play in the paper if you want, but you have it protected. And that's what it's all about.
I'll tell you what else it's all about. It's about taking a break for some commercial announcements. And we have to do it now, or Frank, the producer, will be angry with us. He's going to play the music at any moment. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And we were talking about, at the first part of the program, talking about how difficult things are, not just from a financial perspective, not just from a concrete and objective perspective, but they are subjectively, emotionally, annoying, irritating, aggravating, confusing, and sometimes it just wears you down. And so Melody has some good news What's you got for good news for Melody?
Good news. Yesterday's prices for gold and silver, AU $5 Liberty and 21-ounce Silver Eagles, a complete tube of 2013 is the year, includes shipping for $965. They just need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. You know, the $5 Liberty ounce, almost a quarter an ounce of gold, and it's just a great little coin. It's a lightly circulated. It carries the semi. It classifies under a semi-numismatic, so you get the protection and you get the privacy and you get the performance out of it. It's a great little coin, along with 20 of the untouched 2013 Silver Eagles, 20 ounces of silver. The package also includes free shipping, and we do have a limited number of those packages. And I don't say that just to make people want to buy them. I really do have a limited amount because we're offering these packages at yesterday's prices. So that is why, but they need to give us a call. And again, at 800-375-4188, folks can visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. There's no cost to you. We joined forces with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs, so you get a little bit of health, you get a little bit of wealth, and the two are going to be very important in your future. So make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. It usually comes out on Mondays, and again, no cost to you. And if you have any questions for the program, you have a question for Al, you have a question for myself, 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Don't get that confused with our 800 number. The 8191 is for call-ins to the program, or you can email us either directly from the website if you have a question for the program. Late-night listeners, don't just because you're listening to a rebroadcast of the program, hey, you can send me an email, and we'll make sure that we address it on the next program. We can either respond back to you to let you know when you can listen for the answer to your questions. There should be tons of questions out there, Al. I know we have some very educated listeners. They understand what's going on, and as you said, they are very partial already to gold. They understand the fundamentals for gold, and as Murray said in his other email, he says, things are going to get cheaper while things that we need will be getting more expensive. And it's we've seen it happen already. You can buy all these little trinkets from China. We basically have exported a lot of our inflation that way, but yet we see our food costs, the things that we need, our gasoline prices become more and more expensive. So there's a lot of reasons that you purchase gold, and the fundamentals are strong. They haven't changed. They've only gotten stronger. So don't become confused. You were going to say something now? I heard that big.
No, I was just, I had a small heart attack there for just a second. I was just kind of reaching for the oxygen tank, and I made that. It was an inhale, but it was medically induced. It didn't have anything to do with the program. There was something I was going to say, and now it skipped my mind while I was explaining my medical difficulty. Let's talk a little about Germany fights population drop. Here's an article from, I think it's Wall Street Journal. Excuse me. Washington Times, I think. There's nowhere better than the German countryside to see the dawning impact of Europe's plunge in fertility rates over the decades, a problem that has frightening implications for the economy and psyche in the of the continent. In some areas, there are now abundant overgrown yards, boarded up windows, and concerns about sewage systems too empty to work properly. The workforce is rapidly graying, and assembly lines are being redesigned to minimize bending and lifting. Right? In the most recent census, Germany discovered it lost 1.5 million inhabitants. By 2060, experts say the country could shrink an additional 19% to about $66 million. And this despite Germany has been spending $265 billion a year on family subsidies. Right, trying to encourage people to stay home, have kids, and so on. And they're not succeeding. And it goes on, it says, if Germany is to avoid a major labor shortage, It will have to find ways to keep older workers in their jobs after decades of pushing them toward early retirement. And we'll have to attract immigrants and make them feel welcome enough to make a life in Germany. Well, this is reminiscent. It's surprising to me to hear that Germany is actually becoming depopulated. The population is diminishing in Germany. It's doing the same thing in Japan. Japan has become, they are losing population, they are losing children, they have an increasing percentage of elderly and a diminishing percentage of children. They are closing schools in Japan because they don't have enough kids to attend the schools anymore. It doesn't bode well for Japan. It doesn't bode well for Germany. And we can look at some of these things, and we have to wonder if we're not in a similar boat. For example, here's one of the things they talk about, the German retirement system. And they point out that the proportion of elderly will become burdensome. There are about 4 workers for every pensioner in the European Union. That's not just Germany, that's European Union. 4 people working for every 1 person who's collecting a pension in the European Union. Right now, in terms of Social Security in this country, we have a little less than 3 people working for every 1 person who's collecting Social Security. You know, it was, I think it was 1945, 1950, I can't recall, we had about 170 people working for every 1 person who is collecting Social Security. Under those circumstances, you could afford, you know, you could sit back and say, sure, we'll contribute to Social Security because, you know, and all this, it was the equivalent if I was one of the 170 people who were contributing to Social Security, my share for every 1 retiree. My share, essentially, I was obligated to pay to support one of the old-timers for about 3 days out of the year. Well, that's not an enormous burden. We can afford that. That seems reasonable. It seems fair. But over time, we've gone from 170 workers for every person collecting Social Security. We're now down to about 3 workers for every person collecting Social Security. Now, in theory, I have to cough up, If I'm one of those 3 workers, I have to cough up enough money to support the 1 retiree for 4 months out of every year. That's like having a third of a dependent added to my gross, you know, my obligations under my income. This is no longer a small thing. And what are we going to do? They say the proportion of elderly will become burdensome. They're talking about Germany in particular and the European Union. It's the same thing is happening here. And I guarantee there's people out there thinking, what are we going to do about those old people? They're becoming burdensome. What do we do with those burdensome elderly, Melody? Maybe we could give them Obamacare.
Sign them up under Obamacare.
Yeah, let's sign them up for Obamacare, where we will ration health care, and we will have what have been come to be called death panels to decide who gets the medical treatment. And we just won't give it to the old folks. Ha, ha, ha. And then they'll die. How about that, Melody?
How about that?
Well, that way we'll solve our problem. At least the government will. I guarantee you, as foolish and unpleasant as it sounds to say some of those things, nevertheless, they are not far from reality. And I guarantee there are people in positions of power that aren't just joking about that reality. They're saying, no, this is going to have to be done. We've got to figure a way to get rid of the old-timers, and we've got to figure a way to get more kids in here. We can't afford to raise kids in this country. I saw a report recently where it costs about $250,000, according to one estimate, to take a child from conception up to age 18. All right? That's how much a family has to pay. We can't afford it. And much of that is because government has raised taxes and regulations and one thing or another where we can't afford to have children anymore. So what's the government's solution to the problem? We can't. We are going to be squeezed the same way they're being squeezed in Germany. Too many elderly people, not enough workers. Where do we get more workers? Why don't we bring them in from Mexico? They've already raised them down there, see? They're already 16, 17, 18, 20 years old before they illegally cross the border. We avoid that quarter million dollar cost of raising our own children. And we can bring illegal aliens in this country. And they can be our workers. And they can support Social Security. And they can keep the elderly people in there, provide for them in their golden years. Now, insofar as we do that, though, we are going to change the American culture. We are going to make changes that will at least impair what was, at one point, one of the most extraordinary countries, probably the single most extraordinary country the world's ever seen. And we're going to urinate that away. And we're going to do it in order to, what, hang on to Social Security? Hang on to a government program? Try to maintain the promises government made? You know, when we signed up for Social Security and the government said, oh, we'll take care of you in your old age and rest of this sort of thing, we didn't think they meant that they were going to take care of us in a different country. All right? It's not as if, and some people have talked about this, taking the people that are retired and shipping them to China. Huh? We can ship them to China and keep them there cheap. The idea was the government would provide for you in your old age within the United States of America. And now they're saying, we don't have the money to provide for you folks. We're going to have a problem here. And the only way we can do this is we either got to whack a bunch of you old folks or got to ship some of you old folks to a foreign country where living is cheap, or we've got to import a bunch of illegal aliens who are going to change this country. This is all a consequence of government making promises that people could see from the beginning. Government would not be capable of keeping indefinitely. Started Social Security, I think, back in the 1930s, in my recollection. I don't know if that's precisely true or not. But they started the Social Security back in the 30s, if I recall correctly. They knew back then that the day was going to come when this thing would blow up in our faces, but the politicians sat back and said, it won't happen while I'm in office. I guarantee all the politicians that were there in 1933, they're dead and gone. They're not here to face the music. But we are getting closer to that time. That's been built into this Ponzi scheme, and that's all it's been, Ponzi scheme. Been built in from the beginning. Anyone who wanted to look at it could see this is going to end badly. The only question is when? Which generation is the generation who is unfortunate enough to be wiped out on Social Security? And it looks like we're pretty close. Might be my generation, might be a generation just a little behind me, hard to say. But we're going to have a problem here. We're going to have a significant problem. And politicians are to blame for advancing this program in the first place. But we're also to blame because we haven't paid attention. We've neglected and we've allowed ourselves to be deceived. And a couple of generations of us have allowed ourselves to be deceived. And here we are. Now, one or more generations is going to be stripped of the illusion, stripped of the deception. And all of a sudden, we're going to say, oh, my gosh, we have to face reality. What do we do? Well, I don't know. You know, we live in interesting times, and most of us will survive whatever happens. We're going to get through this. But it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be painful. And the only question is, when is it going to happen? I mean, we're in it already up to our knees. The question is, when do we get in? When does it rise up to the level of our ears? And no one, certainly I don't know, but a lot of people think it's getting closer all of the time. What do you think, Melody? Are we gonna all just float away here and live happily ever after, or are we headed for a difficult situation?
You know, I think it's interesting about the Germany and their population decline, because you can see the population declines in all countries, as you mentioned. Isn't that, pardon?
In Western countries, yeah.
And even in our, do you think it's, well, you have.
We're not seeing population declines in India or in China. I mean, one thing you can say about poor people, they may not be able to afford TV and internet connections, but they don't.
They love one another.
Waste all their time. They can find other things to do.
They love one another.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to go to the point where, you know, the protocols of the elitists of the population control, how they want to eliminate populations. And but you're right, it's only happening in segments. But I wonder if there's any part of that coming into play as far as selective population control, perhaps.
I don't know. It's hard to say, and whatever is happening, the herd is going to be culled one way or another. And if you don't want to be culled prior to your natural demise, folks, you need to take steps to protect yourself. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Searstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. But the other 800 number is, if you want to call into this program, you can call 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Got a question, comment? We'd be glad to hear from you. Got a caller right now. Wayne from Texas is on the line. What you got for us, Wayne?
Hey, Al. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to call because I heard some of the earlier comments about some folks that are kind of having doubt or worried about what's happening with their investments in precious metals. And when I heard your comments, I also could think back about hearing the voice of Bob Chapman, and that was kind of ringing my ears, because one thing Bob always stressed was the reason I had physical gold was it was real, it was historical, it was portable, and most importantly, it contained no counterparty risk.
Yep.
And the reason that is so important is you can ask MF Global investors about counterparty risk, GM bondholders, and most likely Detroit bondholders. And I think the other issue here that makes it very critical to have physical is we will probably see bail-ins hitting us in the not-too-distant future, just like what happened in Cyprus. And I know for a fact, I think it's Japan and Canada have already adopted bail-ins as part of their banking regulations. So I got to believe the U.S. is not far behind if it's not already in place.
I'd say that's probably true. Let me ask you this. When you say counterparty risk, what do you mean? Because I'll bet you that most people don't exactly know what we're talking about when we say counterparty risk. Can you explain it? I can give you an answer myself, and maybe it's correct and maybe it's not, but do you have an answer for an explanation for counterparty risk? What does that mean?
Well, I would just think, again, I'm not as versed as you in it, but my feeling is that let's take the case of MF Global Investors. There's a lot of people that invested money in their local banks or even depositors in their banks, and the banks were taking money and investing with MF Global. So these folks did not realize that there was a large risk involved in being able to get their money back. So a lot of those bank depositors took a big haircut when MF Global went down. And in the case of GM bondholders, I believe that they're going to take a big hit. Well, they did take a big haircut already. So it was the fact that the money they put into their investment, they did not realize that there was a risk involved to even get back the principal, much less any of the investment income.
Well, from my perspective, the risk is this. The counterparty risk is this. There is none in gold. There is always counterparty risk in paper. If I have a stock, a bond, any sort of a pledge that someone's going to put money in my pocket, they are all IOUs. If all I have is a piece of paper, and they are all absolutely dependent on the financial health of whoever signed the stock, the bond, the pledge, whatever. If my asset is someone else's debt, and my asset is only good as long as the debtor, the counterparty on my paper asset, that guy's got to stay solvent. And if he goes broke, bankrupt, or dies, guess what? My piece of paper has now been reduced just to the status of pure paper. That's it. It's nothing but cellulose. On the other hand, if I have an ounce of gold in my hand, I have that ounce of gold without regard to whether or not anyone else is ever going to go bankrupt. They're going to pass on. There is nothing. I'm holding it in my hand. It's mine. There is no third-party, counterparty risk on it. Nobody else is involved. I have an asset. My asset, the paper asset, always depends on someone else's financial health. And in a difficult economic circumstance, that makes paper debt instruments extremely risky.
That's
the other guy
so
goes
critical.
Broke. The debtor goes broke. I lose my asset.
That's
one man's debt's another man's asset. That's the foundation for the counterparty risk.
Sure. And I just want to say that I think what's even more critical is the fact that if there is a banking crisis, we know that the amount of physical cash even in these banks is a minuscule amount, maybe 1 or 2%. So, again, when a lot of people are standing in line, trying to get maybe 10 cents on the dollar, if they're lucky, the people with physical gold or silver are going to be able to go even barter for food and other supplies they're going to need. And we know that day is going to come because it's just a matter of time right now.
It always does with fiat currency. That's the only question is when. It's not what. The only question is when. We know what is going to happen. We just don't know when it's going to happen. But we're getting closer to it all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I believe absolutely. And I got to believe, I'd sure like to know if there's any anecdotes from the Cyprus crisis where people that did have the physical, if they were able to really go out and negotiate and pay their bills and buy food, whereas the folks who took the big haircuts from the banks, what kind of shape they were in. I'm sure there was some big issues over there, and the people that
That's
did have
a
physical
really
were
interesting
in much better
question.
Shape.
That's a really interesting question, and a really interesting insight is inherent in that question. Did anyone in Cyprus have gold? And if they did, how'd they make out compared to their neighbors who were, had all of their money stuck in one of the Cyprus banks that were sacrificed as part of a bail-in. What happened to the people? There must have been some people who had gold, and yet I haven't heard about that. You haven't heard about it. Do you think it's an accident that the mainstream media doesn't talk about people who had gold in Cyprus?
I'm sure they just haven't caught up to the story yet, Al. You know that.
Now, I'm sure that's a story you're not going to hear about. It had to be true. I don't care if it was only true for a dozen people. It had to be true. There had to be at least a dozen Cypriots that had gold. And one way or another, in the midst of all this trouble, they're the ones who have perhaps purchased some remarkable homes. When other people are in the midst of poverty, they are selling off property for a fraction of what it's worth. They're desperate to get some kind of currency. If you've got some gold, they'll take the gold. I'll bet there were some people who, they profited dramatically by virtue of holding gold in those difficult times. And yet the story isn't out. And I'd never thought of that before, but I don't doubt, you know, again, not an accident. I would speculate. The mainstream says, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're not going to give people...
Well, I think, again, if it's something that we can throw out over the airwaves, perhaps people, you know, in the States or even overseas might have some insights into that. But that'd be real interesting to know how those folks made out, because that's a real-life, real-time example of what you guys are talking about constantly.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good insight, Wayne, and I certainly appreciate it.
We do know this program is broadcast worldwide, so, you know, perhaps, you know, we'll be in touch with someone that can actually give us a little bit of insight on that.
Maybe so.
Great. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, Wayne, do you have anything else, Wayne, for us? Or?
No, just your buddy Kevin says his regards from Dallas. So.
All right, good. Thank you, Wayne.
Take care.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks. Thank you, Wayne.
All right. What else do we got, Melody?
You know, it's very simply put, gold has no claim of debt against it.
That's the point.
Yes, that's the point.
It's not dependent on some debtor to make it good.
That's correct.
It's good intrinsically.
Yes.
It will be good regardless of whether the debtors go broke, get rich, live or die. The gold is still the gold. I mean, you can dig up, they excavate gold out of the bottom of the ocean that's been there for a couple of centuries. Guess what? It is still valuable. Doesn't make any difference whether the debtors lived or died or anything. The gold carries intrinsic value. The paper does not.
And not only that, gold has no nationality. It crosses all international boundaries. So, I mean, it's liquid 24 hours a day. I mean, so, you know, I hear these stories and comments, oh, well, who's going to want to buy my gold? I mean, oh, come on, folks. You can't listen to these people that come up and say these stupid things and
well,
they want you to...
there's a amount of point to it from this perspective.
Oh,
who's going to buy my gold?
Gosh,
if the worst scenario ever, I'm not
going to
sell gold for pieces of paper. All right? But we are talking about a dangerous time. We're talking about a difficult time. We're not saying that if you have gold, you are going to be able to just kick back, relax, and live in the lap of luxury. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some difficulty. But you will be in immensely better condition, circumstances, than the people who are simply relying on paper. If you're relying on paper... if anyone out there thinks it's going to be difficult to find someone who to buy your gold, right? Maybe a little bit isn't. You aren't going to necessarily walk out the door and decide, I'd like to sell a coin, and everybody in the neighborhood will come up to buy it. But go ahead and try to sell your stock. Go ahead and try to sell your bonds. Go ahead and try to sell your paper debt instruments, and see who's going to buy them. I guarantee if there's anybody buying anything, they'll be buying gold.
Huh? Absolutely. And to sell your gold, there's varying degrees of purchasing for gold and silver and various reasons why you buy gold and silver. Yes, bartering is very important, and we're all going to need it. However, it's also there to preserve your purchasing power and your assets. And in that case, you will always want to sell it into the market first. The market's not going to stop. If there's an interruption in the market, gold will come back first. Then you have the small pieces of items that you have in order to barter if you need to. 9/11 is a perfect example. Guess what market came back online first? It was gold. They even shortened the hours of trading for 9/11. It used to trade for longer hours, but now they shortened it to 1:30. But still, it came back first, and it will in any times of trouble because it is what it is. It's recognized as that. So you have to be, you know.
Why does it come back first?
It trades worldwide. That's why.
There's counterparty risk, not with physical gold. I don't know if I want to buy any bonds. I don't know if I want to buy any stocks right after 9/11.
But I want to buy gold.
Well, I don't have a problem with buying gold. The only problem, I want to buy gold. We can argue about what I think the price should be and what the seller thinks the price should be, but I guarantee you, I don't have a problem buying gold because there is no counterparty risk. The value of my little gold coins do not depend on whether some debtor can or cannot make good on his debt. They're an asset in and of themselves, and therefore, in difficult times, I'll buy. You would too, ladies and gentlemen. You will too. Time comes, you will too. And so will those people who have assets, and it may be that the assets, they may not have cash to pay for gold, but maybe they have land. Maybe they have a house. Maybe they have a house that was selling for $250,000, built for $250,000, and they're willing to let it go for, who knows, half a dozen ounces of gold. Hard to say. But there will be people who will be willing to do business for gold. They will not do business. They won't trade for paper. Just common sense. You don't have to be a genius to get this. You just have to be, just takes a little courage. That's all. A little common sense, a little courage. Take a look at the truth and say, I think if that's true, then this would follow. And, you know, you can make intelligent decisions and manage your own affairs. So, what do we got, a minute and a half left, Melody?
I believe we do. Just real briefly.
What do we got?
Well, go ahead.
Well, here's one we might as well get out of the way just briefly. California enacts nation's first law protecting transgender students. Boy, isn't that something about time. Children in California public schools must be accommodated based on their self-perceived gender identity, which means biological girls may use boys' bathrooms, and biological boys may join the girls' cheerleading squads, under a law signed Monday by California Governor Jerry Brown. The law goes into effect January 1st and is expected to affect some 6.2 million public school students in kindergarten to 12th grade. There will be children in kindergarten that are going to have the option of deciding whether to use the boys' bathroom or the girls' bathroom. They will have the option to be on the boys' football team or the girls' football team or the girls' cheerleading team. And they're doing this because they say this is going to protect the transgender children. What is this going to do to girls and boys who aren't transgender? What's it going to do to the girls on the girls' cheerleading squad when they find out there's a bunch of boys who used to play football who've decided they want to be on the cheerleading squad so they can take showers with the cheerleaders? What happens to the normal kids? We've enacted a law to protect the transgender kids. What have we done to protect the normal kids? And the answer is nothing. We are sexualizing the children from kindergarten up, making them aware of their sexuality. The whole thing is stupid, it's crazy, it's nonsense, and it can't be right for the United States of America. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. As always, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you. Meet Melody and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.